Rob Krentz was killed last month. A southern Arizona rancher, he was out working the ranch when he called his brother. It was about 10 o'clock a.m. on Saturday morning, March 27th. Rob made a radio call to his brother that was somewhat garbled, but his brother heard the words illegal aliens and hurt. When Rob didn't show up at noon, his brother Phil called the police. They searched all day, and Rob was found shortly before midnight. He'd been shot. The police are continuing to investigate the crime. Mr. Krentz apparently has been dealing with these issues for a number of years. I came across an interview that he had with PBS back in 1999, a show called Religion and Ethics News Weekly. And in that interview, Krentz said that his ranch had been broken into and burglarized of $700 worth of items. But despite the crime, Krentz said he helped any illegal immigrants he could. "And you know, if they come in and ask for water, I'll still give them water," he said. "You know, that's just my nature." Locally, the 58-year-old Krentz was known as a Good Samaritan, who often brought water and helped immigrants who tried to cross the desert in an area where summer temperatures often hit 120 degrees. Kind of makes you rethink the whole concept of a Good Samaritan, doesn't it? It's one thing to give water. It's another thing to give up your life. Today, we're continuing our sermon series on called to serve our neighbor. And yet, when I hear stories like this, I wonder if we're a lot like that teacher of the law who stood before Jesus and knew the law, but he wasn't exactly sure how far he should push it to apply it in his situation. This teacher of the law comes up to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, what is written in the law?" He said, "How do you read it?" See, Jesus was ever the good teacher. And sometimes a good teacher answers a question with a question, right? So, he says, "How do you read it?" The man answered, "Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." You see, the law that had been given by Moses contained two tablets on that law. The first tablet was how we should love God. We should love God above all things. And on the second tablet were all those commandments that talked about how we should love our neighbor. And the Jews had taken those laws and built another 600 laws. And so they really knew what it was to do love to other people. And every day when a Jewish person would rise, they would say the great Shema, "I, the Lord your God, am one," and then, "You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And then in Leviticus it says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So the guy had the right answer. It's just simply love God and love your neighbor and all is fine. And Jesus says, "Great, go do it." So the guy starts to walk away, but then he has this lingering question in his head. Who is my neighbor? I mean, I know what love is, I think, but who's the neighbor guy? Is it the guy sitting next door? Is it someone down the street? Is it everybody? So he turns to Jesus and he says, "I've just got one question for you, Jesus. Who is my neighbor?" Now, Jesus knew that he was trying to keep the law, but Jesus also knew that he couldn't possibly perfectly keep the law. And the question is twofold in nature. The question is really this: how do I love my neighbor? How do I show love to my neighbor? And who is my neighbor? Because the wider you make that umbrella of who your neighbor is, the lesser your love to each of those people becomes. Or if you narrow that umbrella of who my neighbor is, then you can show a lot of love to that person. It's really a twofold question. It can't be answered by just simply, who's my neighbor? But Jesus doesn't simply answer the question as to who my neighbor is. Jesus, ever the perfect teacher, gives a great parable. And he talks about a situation. A guy's going down the road and he gets beaten up by robbers. It's interesting that in the story, in the parable, Jesus talks about the Levites and the priest who just simply walk on by. The priest comes by and he sees the man by the side of the road and he continues on. The Levite sees the man on the side of the road, injured, sick, in need of help, and he simply walks on. It's the Samaritan who comes and assists the man. Now, the people have wondered for years, why is it that the Levite and the priest didn't stop and help the guy? They're trying to come up with some sort of answer that would say what it was in their culture of that time that would not let these two people help the poor guy off on the side of the road. And it is true that those two people worked in the temple. And as workers in the temple, if they were to stop and touch a dead person, they would have to completely cleanse themselves and purify themselves before they could go back into the temple. It would have caused a lot of extra work. As a matter of fact, if they lived in the temple, if they worked in the temple and the guy had blood and they touched blood, they'd still have to go back, purify themselves, cleanse themselves before they could go back into the temple. It was a lot of work. Why didn't the two guys stop? Why didn't they help this poor, helpless guy by the side of the road? And you can say, oh, it's because they were a priest and it's because they were Levite and they didn't want to get messed up. They were doing their job and they knew it would affect their job. But the fact is, how many of you, if you saw somebody lying hurt by the side of the road, wouldn't at least stop to try to see if you could help? See if he's dead or near death. See, I think the reason why the priest and the Levite didn't stop and help the guy wasn't because they were a priest or a Levite. The reason why they didn't stop is because they didn't want to get involved. It was too messy. Because once you stop, you know, then you got to find out what the name of the guy is and you got to help him and you got to enter into that relationship. But that's just too messy. You see, and I think the reason why Jesus put the Levite and the priest in the story isn't because of their position per se, but he put them in the story to show that everybody needs to stop and help a poor, helpless guy. And even priests and Levites can just walk on by. How about you? If you were to see a guy hurt and lying in the street, would you help? Would you pick him up, wash his wounds, care for him? We're in the middle of a sermon series. It's part two of our sermon series called To Serve. And what we are as a church is called to serve our community. Because there are a lot of people, they're not lying by the road beat up, but there are a lot of people in our community who are beat up, who maybe have been robbed of their job over the last year or robbed of their finances over the last year. There may be people in our community that have been hurt and beat up by the situations of life. There have been people in this world who have been stripped naked of their dignity, of their whole entire life. And they are reaching out and screaming for our help and saying, please help me. And so many people are just walking on by. We have thousands of government programs, but even those government programs don't necessarily always help because all they can do is hand out money or hand out aid or do that sort of thing. But some of these people, what they really need is somebody to richly and deeply enter into their life and help them. And you say, Lord, it's too much. I can't help everybody. I mean, you look at all the hurting people in this world. I can't. No, but you can help one. And you'll know who that one is because there are people that God will place in your life. Hurting people who need just simply somebody to love them, to care for them, to wrap them up in their arms and take them to the nearest clinic and love them and help them through life. If everybody in this congregation just did one, we'd help hundreds by next week. God calls this church to love this community deeply. And I know it's difficult. And I know it takes sacrifice. And I know it takes time out of your schedule and it takes time out of your finances and all the things that go on in your life. That's the last thing you need is one more time to be away from your kids or your family or work or whatever. And yet there are people in this community who so desperately need you. And there will be times in your life where God will place that person in your life. And you'll know that God is calling you to reach out to that lost person. I know every time I drive by the intersection of Kolb and Valencia, I see the same lady standing there. I don't know where she comes from. I don't know where she lives. But I feel that tension in my heart every time I go by. Who is she? And of course, I don't roll down the window and start talking to you. I know some of you have because you know her name. But I haven't. Is she the one? Or are there other people that I'm supposed to talk to be deeply involved in? See, this parable is a difficult parable. It's an extremely difficult parable. If you think of what the guy sacrificed, he took the guy to a clinic and he gave him money and said, whatever it takes, you fix him up and I'll pay for it. That's a huge sacrifice that this guy did for that. Why would he do such a thing? How could he possibly do such a thing? He loved the guy. And loving our neighbor is what we're called to do, but it's a hard thing to do. But it's not so hard of a thing to do if you take the deeper meaning of this parable. Because you see, we're the ones lying by the side of the road. All of us, because of sin in our life, have been beat up and left for dead beside the side of the road. And we've looked to a whole bunch of things to help save us from that. You know, money or wealth or friends or family or whatever it is. And many, many times they just walk right on by. But there is one who did not walk on by. He left his home in heaven and became human and lived on this earth to come and grab us by his arms and to reach out to us and to show us his perfect love and to take all the blood and the gunk and the filth that is in our life and wipe us up and clean us up and call us his own and to let us be a part of his family forever. He made the ultimate sacrifice to come and be our good Samaritan. This rancher, Bob Krentz, when he left that morning, he didn't know that he was going to make the ultimate sacrifice of love. It says in the articles that I've read that he was a church-going man. So he knew the story of the Good Samaritan. He saw the guy out there. He knew he was hurt. He had no choice. That's what God called him to do. And it cost him his life. But your Savior, Jesus Christ, willingly knew that when he came to this earth, instead of us thanking him, we would kill him. And it would cost him his life, which he willingly did, to give his life for you so that you and I could live with him forever. In this community, my prayer is that this church would see the hurting people in this community, the people who have needs to be met, and that we would joyfully remember the love that Jesus has given to us and joyfully help those around us, no matter the sacrifice, because that's what Jesus did for us. In his name, amen.